5, The Zone. We're not Lumberjacks, but we're joined by our friend Buck Rising right now from A to Z Sports. Buck was the subject of a conversation yesterday on this program that goes back to probably about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that. I was in the studio one day, Buck, and I had on a flannel shirt and some jeans. And so Brent Doherty kept saying, "You look like a lumberjack. You're like a lumberjack. You know, why are you dressed like a lumberjack?" So we were kind of laughing about it. Well, there's this term for like hipster young guys. In the fall, they wear like their skinny jeans and their flannel shirt, and they're called lumbersexual. So it's like a takeoff of metrosexual, but it's lumbersexual. So I don't know if somebody called in or tweeted us or what, but by the end of the day, that's what they were calling me. So it just kind of got filed away. But we got to talking about flannel shirts and whatnot yesterday. It came up again. I don't even remember how, because I've slept since then. And, you know, I'm old, and old people don't have good memories.
I still love you.
But we were talking about millennials and hipsters. And I said, you know, that a lot of that group are lumbersexuals. And I said, like Buck, if he was rocking a flannel shirt, you know, out for a Titans game or something, he could pull that look off. And so immediately, Brent, who was listening, tweeted you and drug you into this conversation. So welcome in with that, Buck Rising.
You know, I not only am I wearing skinny jeans today, I wore skinny jeans to the practice field. My ass looks great in them, by the way. I got texts from my girlfriend asking me why our sex life was being discussed on 104.5 The Zone, because neither of us had any context for what a lumbersexual was. What the acts of a lumbersexual are. And now all I know it to be is the uniform of the East Nashville hipster. And I live in North Nashville. I live in Buena Vista, and we do not tolerate the East Nashville hipsters on my side of town. What's up, boys?
Oh, my.
Where you want to go from there, Mick?
let's just go straight into Vic Beasley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just move on.
We can talk about my butt and these jeans. They really do look great.
Oh, okay. I like you and your girl handle all that.
What is that, Coach Spurrier gift? Let's just keep things moving. Vic Beasley, who does he have beef with? What was that? You even followed up a question. What's going on with that?
I'm so confused. We wait 5 months to talk to this man. And, you know, I understand that things are different this year, and they've been trying to work out their own situation with Vic Beasley. So, you know, if it takes a little longer for them to get him to us, I understand this year. But when he finally does make an appearance on the Zoom call, we Jimmy Wyatt starts with, you know, how are you settling in? How do you like your coaches? Yada, yada, yada. And then Teron asks him, well, you know, we've got to ask, where were you for 10 days when the team reported to training camp? And you had an unexcused absence that cost you about, you know, $500,000. And he said, quote, "I just had some things I had to work out. There was a little disagreement here and there, but you know, those things are behind us, and I've moved on and just let bygones be bygones, just settle things and let them be." That is what Vic Beasley said. And the rest of us just looked around at each other, either virtually or via group text, and said, "What? What is this man talking about? What do you mean you had some disagreements after the terms were agreed to? Where was the representation? Who disagreed with whom?" Which was my follow-up. Like, who were you disagreeing with? And he told us essentially that for the sake of the other party who he was in disagreement with, he would prefer to keep that confidential. And now I sit here after 20 minutes of Vic Beasley Zoom with more questions than I do answers. Other than the fact that, you know, he's probably going to play on Sunday, which I guess is good.
So that's where we are. Now, he was asked, do you love football? Because that had to be answered. And he said, yes, I wouldn't waste people's time. He was asked about, you know, this opportunity. And he said, I got an opportunity to rejoin the discussion among the top pass rushers in the league. See, he's saying the right things, right? He's saying all the right things.
He said the right things after he said the wrong things that made us all scratch our head and look around. Like, what is he talking about? I mean, and like, okay, I get it. I, cause you know, what else is he going to say? Because it's clear that he doesn't want to be transparent with us, and I guess that's fine. Though it does make people want to dig some more on it, and that's probably how I'm going to spend my Friday afternoon trying to figure out what, you know, what went wrong, as I'm sure the rest of Titans media is. And yes, those things are great in principle, and none of this matters if he goes out there and he has a couple sacks or he pressures Kirk Cousins a bunch. Like, nobody will care at the end of Sunday if they come out with another win and the pass rush looks more, for lack of a better term, energized, because you're not playing Clowney and Landry almost the entirety of the snaps, and you can finally get some fresh legs in there as this thing was supposed to be constructed. But, like, going back to the initial disagreement situation, like, I'm trying to figure out what, you know, how he justifies bogging down their start of camp without proper warning or prior explanation, because it just comes off to me as some kind of petty disagreement. Like, and, you know, at this point, we're left to speculation, because he's not going to tell us what and or whom he's disagreeing with. So it could be anything from they went out and tried to sign Clowney and Vic Beasley or something like that. And I don't want to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall to see what sticks, but that's kind of where you're leaving us as media when you don't tell us what happened.
Buck Rising, our guest, A to Z Sports, A to Z Sports Primetime, 615 Sessions as well, brought to you by our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One, Blaine Bishop.
Yeah, but I guess I'm wondering, I wish he would have just said, hey, man, I hurt my knee. I was embarrassed to come here. I already heard on a new team, you know what? And I just didn't want to show up. I would have said, oh, okay. That at least kind of makes somewhat of a sense that you're embarrassed, but you still should have showed up because you got fined. So you should have just let them know, you know, hey, well, sometimes that happens.
Well, that's initially, like, going into that press conference, that's kind of where my head was at with all this. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe he injured the knee in a way that he thought was going to void the contract or something like that. So he was, you know, he's scared. He didn't know what to do. Turns out it was just some kind of silliness that they disagreed to after the fact, when they decided to give this man $9.5 million for 1 year guaranteed. Like, that's the thing. It's the guarantee of the money that really just rankles you if you're listening to this thing, or if you're a Titans fan, or if you're the guy who spent the money on him in John Robinson. Like, those two, Rabel and Robinson, went out there. They put their necks out there for this guy who's the biggest question about him was, does he like to play football? And so to justify the spending of $9.5 million on a guy who, you know, may or may not like to play football, he burns you this way. And I thought Kaharsky did a great job following up with him. Just, do you feel like you embarrassed them at all? And he kind of dismissed it a little bit and put it behind me and so on and so forth. But
oh, did he?
I mean, man, like, what are we talking about here?
Uh-oh. Now, I gave, you know, another Clemson graduate a nickname, Dodd. I called him Quadruple Zero. He's the only, first and only guy that I've given a negative connotation to his name. Because it looks like 4-0, because you gave us nothing, you know, for a second round. You gave us absolutely nothing.
I was just going to ask, why the Quadruple Zero? But now I understand.
Because he gave us nothing. He gave us 1.5 sacks. That signing bonus wasn't even worth 1.5 sacks, bro.
It's more than Vic Beasley right now, Blaine.
Hey, Beasley, hey, man, he better, when they talk about comes out guns a-blazing, he better be out there blazing. I mean, he better be running around that corner like no other, because I want to see some, man, with no explanation why he's late, why he's here, why he missed games, and then now you're out here in this game. Hey, man, I want to see you go get the quarterback every time. I don't care if you missed the run game. Just go get the quarterback. I want to see you.
Yeah, sure, but, like, my thing is, if Clowney's – and again, we don't know what his physical conditioning is. They're all professional athletes. They're supposed to look like supernatural.
He is not going to be in game shape. You can't do
that. That's what I'm saying, Blaine.
You're in the game.
That's what I'm saying, Blaine.
I don't care. For five plays, he better run like his butt is on fire.
Just for the five, and then you send it back out and let Clowney look tired for the rest of it. No, I get what you're saying. They have – again, none of it's going to matter if he comes out there and he makes an impact play. If he has a batted pass like Jeff Simmons, if he gets to the quarterback, if he hurries Cousin on a third down, if he stuffs Dalvin Cook at the line. Like, people are going to be talking about the plays that he made rather than the time that he missed. all of those things are so. But until then, I'm just kind of sitting here like, we'll see. Because this guy, I mean, I have to couch all of this stuff. Because I was just talking to Corey Davis yesterday on the podcast about this. And I'm like, there's such a knowledge gap for me in the locker room this year. Because I don't know Vic Beasley. Right. I don't know Isaiah Wilson. I don't know Christian Fulton. I don't know Jadeveon Clowney. We get three days a week, 45 minutes before practice, where we're in the locker room and we can get to know these guys a little better. And right now, after 5 months of this dude being on the team, is the first time that I've talked to Vic Beasley, two questions in, and I'm just sitting here like, what? So until all of this stuff comes down, until we actually see him on the field and he shows that he can produce, like, Titans fans and the people who currently employ him have every right to be skeptical about the way that this man's handled his business.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But let's get into the game, because naturally the Vikings have some injuries and they started off slow with some guys missing, young secondary. What do you think the Titans need to do to make sure we keep this, you know, Kirk Cousins, who starts off slow every year? We don't want him to wake up week three. So how do they keep you know, the Vikings down the dumps, man?
Well, Derrick Henry is going to factor. I mean, he factors in a big way in every one of their games. But the biggest topic of conversation, if you're going to nitpick anything at the offense, is it's the efficiency of the running back. And at this point, if he can't find a way to break a couple loose against this defense, I mean, they are in a bad way. We talked to Mike Zimmer. I guess that would have been on Wednesday. We had a Zoom. He did a Zoom with Titans media. Mm-hmm. And there weren't that many of us on there, but we essentially asked him, you know, what do you make of the defensive struggles? And he straight up said, I think I misjudged them for as many new guys as they have on the field. Because you're talking about a bunch of rookies. You're talking about young corners, some of which, as we look at the injury report, may not necessarily play.
Yeah, I think two of them not playing, yeah.
Yeah, you've lost Anthony Barr. As I look at this, at Cam Dantzler, the rookie corner, ruled out. Mike Hughes, another corner, ruled out with a neck injury. They've already lost Anthony Barr. Danielle Hunter, this will be his last week with the IR designation, and then they can choose what to, like Adoree Jackson, for all of you trolls in my mentions, the same way. This is a defense that beat to hell. And Derrick Henry, I believe, ought to be able to take advantage of that. I think the Titans passing game should be fine, assuming Jonnu Smith's ankle is intact, missing a day of practice this week, but full participation for him the past 2 days. AJ Brown will not again play, so you lack a little bit of your outside threat, but that hasn't seemed to bother them for the most part. This is a bad matchup for the Minnesota Vikings if you're talking about the Tennessee Titans. So I think you just have to let Kirk Cousins do Kirk Cousins things, where I look at my ESPN fantasy app and he has negative 0.35 fantasy points as a quarterback because he's just been so wretched.
Man, so it's hopefully be one of these games. But lastly, though, you got to build on what you did last game and you still escape with the win. Third down efficiency for the defense. I mean, come on. They got to get better than this. I know it's Minshew Mania. We just watched him last night.
Stunk. Yeah. Stunk, Blaine.
Yeah.
You saw that, right? Woo. That shows you where our defense needs to go, and they're not there yet. So how can we get better on third down?
I mean, you can
with Chris Jackson. Chris Jackson, a seventh rounder, is out. Did I just say that?
yes, you did. And Christian Fulton will see a greater amount of snaps, and we talked to him today as well. He said he feels much more comfortable about the communication aspect of it, but from playing in the slot, you're speaking to almost every position at different points in time. Communication is so crucial for them. I think that's going to matter for them to just be able to talk to each other and be on the same page. That's something that through this point they've lacked to a degree, because you have, like the Vikings, you have some new parts. And they're all trying to work in conjunction together. And through certainly in that second game, they were not in communication with each other, or in good enough communication with each other to be able to get Gardner Minshew off the field. I would say that those five plays you won from Vic Beasley, I think they better matter. I think that Jadeveon Clowney cannot just get pressure when he's left unblocked, like that one third down where he got a free run at Minshew and knocked him on his butt. I think that there you need to see less of a drop-off from the interior defensive line from when Daquan Jones and Jeffrey Simmons are on the field to Frank Crawford and Laurel Murchison, who got his first NFL snaps. And again, new personnel, understanding and understandably so. But Cam Robinson for – is it Cam or James Robinson? I can't remember the name of the Jacksonville
James
running back.
Robinson.
James Robinson. Yep. Number 30, Cam Robinson, I think, is their left tackle. James Robinson was gashing them on with regularity, and the run defense suffered as a result. And again, the conditioning of the outside linebackers, who, no matter how long or how short of a time Jadeveon Clowney's been on this roster, keeping them on the field for that long doesn't help. And all of them need to collectively work better to communicate when it's third and five or more, and not allow Kirk Cousins to convert in the way that Gardner Minshew did. And then they have to be able to get stops up front in the in run defense, because they lack that decidedly against the Jags.
Well, added to that, though, why come Correa hasn't got any more snaps, just to even just for the sake of just having them a little fresher? I mean, like 12 reps. I mean, he should be in the 20, 22. I mean, if he's rotating with both of the guys, now now you got another guy, but his reps will probably stay the exact same.
Well, I mean, you say he's rotating for them. He's not. He's just not. And we talked to Shane Bowen about this. That would have been yesterday on Zoom when we speak to the coordinators on Thursday. And essentially, they're looking for him to develop a little more so he can start to steal some snaps from some guys. But there's only two guys to steal snaps from, and they're both gassed at the end of the game. And Harold Landry making a great play to seal the victory for the Titans on the batted pass by Jeffrey Simmons to haul in that interception. And it's not like Landry's been bad by any stretch of the imagination, but they have to find a more consistent rotation. Nobody over there, at least publicly, seems to be bothered by how much time Clowney and Landry are spending on the field, and how little Correa to this point has contributed. But if he's anywhere close to the player that he was in the playoffs that earned him a contract extension here, he should at least see 15 snaps, Blaine, much less 12.
Well, let's talk about the good things, and that is, and one, Danny Hill with his moxie and his confidence, and I mean his leadership right now, man. He's just picked up right where he left off, man. You got to appreciate what he's done in his career to get to this point. I'm excited for him. Happy. He's the right guy. Him and Arthur Smith on the same page. So we better get to the Super Bowl now, because Arthur Smith's probably going to be head coach somewhere else next year.
You going to the Super Bowl in week 3? That's when you go to the Super Bowl, Blaine?
Oh, well, I'm not talking about where they are today. I think potentially, all you need to do is get in the playoffs there, Buck. You know this.
Now, I do.
You get the playoffs, all bets are off. And what travels? The running game and defense, which the defense is not there. So Tannehill is buying them time because he's playing so well.
No, the strength. Listen, they are winning on the strength of the quarterback, and that is such a refreshing change of pace for the Tennessee Titans as a franchise. My God,
there is that. Yeah,
I mean, just drown me in that for the until the end of time for my football viewing experience. It was so much fun. Not just because of Tannehill. Gardner Minshew played really well last week too. It was fun to watch that game. It was a legitimate shootout in a way that we are not used to as people who regularly view this football team. Ryan Tannehill and Arthur Smith have it figured out. Ryan Tannehill is hugely confident and should be based on his performance. He's tied for the league lead. Actually, I don't know if he's tied for the AFC lead in touchdowns anymore after Minshew last night, because that's who he was tied with. But the point still stands that he's distributing the ball across the board. They scored 33 points without A.J. Brown on the field, decidedly their top wide receiver. And he looks like he has them as a coaching staff confident about the plays that they can call, and he has the players on the field with him confident about his ability. When Taylor Lewan's not looking at Adam Humphries catching the touchdown, he's looking back at Ryan Tannehill to see how he responds to getting Josh Allen in his face mask as he lobs that thing up in the air for the go-ahead score. It is very impressive, and a tribute to the offensive coaching staff, to the offense in general, that they seem to have a really good thing in that continuity that you're looking for. You didn't feel great about it in the first half against Denver, but through the last six quarters, you feel much more comforted that you have who you have under center.
Yeah, no doubt.
Buck, great stuff. Buck Rising, A to Z Sports, at A to Z Sports, at Buck Rising, A to Z Sports Primetime in the 615 sessions. And you can find Buck everywhere around town in skinny jeans. And there's a chill in the air, probably a flannel shirt coming as well as he moves on into full-on lumber sexuality. Buck, thank you for the time today.
Oh my. Hipsters unite. I'll see you guys next Friday.
I tweeted you the definition. You can look it up on Twitter when we're done here.
I can't wait to send it to my girlfriend to know that we're not talking about our bedroom activities. Goodbye, boys.
And with that, goodbye, Buck Rising. And hello to the And One story. You want to hear it? Stick around right here on Blaine and Mickey. Ryan Tannehill was on the Rich Eisen Show. We got it for you when we come back. Also, your chance to win some cool Vols stuff. It's all right around the corner. Blaine.